Can lawmakers effectively handle more than 600 bills and resolutions in just 38 days? The Dakota Political Junkies offer analysis for the messy middle of session. You're listening to SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies. I am your host, Lori Walsh. Well, the South Dakota legislative session has featured in-depth debates on everything from property taxes to data centers to, yes, what it means to be a woman. Seth Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. Brad Murdoch is president of the Home Slice Group and co-host of the Dakota Town Hall podcast. We gathered on Zoom this week. We'll start with Seth. Seth, the news coming out of the legislative session this year is fast and furious and kind of in-depth. Like, if you're not paying deep attention, you might not understand a lot of what's happening with property taxes or data centers or some of these, you know, challenging subjects. What have you noticed about legislative sessions so far?
Well, I think you nailed it there. It's maybe a little too in-depth for a lot of people. There's so much coming at everybody all the time that I think a lot of people are tuning out because, I think of the session as three major things: property taxes, data centers, and the politics around economic development. I mean, to me, that's been, you know, the theme of this session. And you know, I don't know what the count is on property tax bills now, upwards of three dozen bills on property taxes, you know. And so to the average person, and I see that even in our coverage, I feel like we're slamming them with so many stories about property tax bills every day that it's like, I don't know, wake me up when they figure out what they want to do. you know what I mean? And it does seem like on that issue, they're kind of, I heard Senator Taffy Howard from Rapid City said on the floor the other day when she voted for the governor's, I think she voted for it, said she was going to, the governor's optional sales tax for counties to reduce homeowner property taxes. She made the comment kind of like surrendering to the idea that maybe this is the only thing we're going to get done on property taxes this year.
Sure.
So I think even the legislators are wore down by like just all the bills and all the confusion and all the debate. And there's just like a sort of a desire to just grab on to something simple and just pass it, I think. So there's that on property taxes. And then, you know, data centers, the fight is still raging, you know, whether we're going to end to, I think we're headed for a compromise on, you know, there's a contingent that wants to, you know, doesn't want data centers or wants a moratorium. There's a contingent that wants to incentivize them. We seem to be, maybe not. I mean, maybe nothing will get done, but there seems to be, you know, everything seems to be funneling toward the middle there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all of that is informed by the politics of the race for governor and everything everybody's saying about, you know, we need to build again. We need to stop discouraging economic development like data centers, et cetera. And all that's playing out on all these issues all the time. So to me, that's kind of, you know, the theme of the session so far.
I'm starting a series on like imagining the future of South Dakota, because I just hear a lot of unimaginative visions of what the future might be. But then, yeah, this politics of economic development, what do you see the future of South Dakota is actually going to be? And I'm really curious to know what people are going to say. Murdoch, what do you think some of the big themes of session have been so far?
I think everything Seth said is right. I think the extreme amount of bills being presented that have to get waded through committee, and you know, the Freedom Caucus kind of got an inch ahead on the Candy Lad board last cycle to be able to run the metronome, and I think, you know, it's working against them a little bit in the fact where they're presenting so many bills. I'll give you a good example. Last week, the charter school discussion was in the Senate, but the data center discussion was in the House. And so it's important to everybody, but the charter school vote went down, and that was probably more important. You take out economic development and property taxes, education and school funding is one of the bigger issues people want to weigh in on one way or the other. And because there's so many bills being killed in committee and, you know, having to have testimony and having to get reconsidered, it's backfiring them a little from what I can see.
So is this a leadership challenge, Seth, as far as who? I remember the year that, a few years back when we talked about, wow, this year was a really well-organized, tightly organized year. Is this a tightly organized year? I feel like we're painting a picture that it's a little bloated.
Yeah, and I think that's to be expected in any election year. I mean,
Right.
you're going to have more people putting more bills to try to get things on their resume, to run for re-election. But I think yes, I mean, there's a clear dividing line between the I think 2020 was it 2023, 24 would have been the last year of sort of the old guard when you had Will Mortensen and Casey Crabtree as the majority leaders of either chamber, and those were. We're done by 5 o'clock. Let's go home and enjoy our lives type of legislative sessions, and, there's something to be said for that. Since the leadership change and the rupture in the Republican Party that the summit pipeline issue caused, and a lot of incumbent legislators losing their seats in 2024 and new leadership being installed, it's been more of a raucous, let's have more arguments, let's not worry so much about the schedule, and let's that kind of a legislature, and having meetings, committees that meet at 7 in the morning till 10 in the morning, and then come back after the floor sessions and meet from 3 in the afternoon till 6 o'clock at night. I mean, there's positives and negatives of both sides. I mean, there's good things about having a more orderly process, but the other side could argue that a lot of voices get diminished in a more orderly process, and you're hearing more of those voices now. So it's you always hear democracy is messy. I think that's what we're I think the latest count, there's more than 600 if you count all the bills, resolutions, commemorations, everything. Think about that. More than 600 pieces of legislation in 38 days. That's messy. That's going to be a messy process. And you're seeing that now, and you're seeing a lot of ton of debate. And could it be more organized if the if leadership was more committed to getting the caucus in line and on certain bills and getting things ironed out before they come to the floor and things? Yes, but that's not the Republican caucus that we have right now. We have a divided Republican caucus that just isn't going to really be, brought into any kind of unison on certain issues. So.
So, Murdoch, what's the impact then on lobbyists, citizens
I've never,
who?
sorry, I don't, it's not funny. I've never seen my lobby buddies look so stressed in my entire life that since I've known them. You get these email updates from the association guys like on Sunday. Here's what happened up here last week, or here's what's coming up this week. And it's four bills that they're working on and 800 bills that they've had to kill in committee. They've never been more stressed out, the lobbyists. Now, I don't, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe you got to weed out the lobbyists once in a while, but it's hard to be a lobbyist this year.
All right, but Seth, I mean, citizens, to your point, journalists are we're doing our jobs. I'm not going to feel sorry for any journalists who are covering State House. We're tired, but okay, that's our job. But citizens who are trying to follow what's happening and trying to participate in the process, reach out to their legislators to hear their voices heard, go to peer, travel to peer to hear their voices heard. This also has to impact them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it is the more bills there are, the harder it gets to follow, for the public, I think, just because there's so much to keep track of, again, hundreds of bills in 38 days, and if you think you've caught on to one issue and you're following it, the next day it's different, and so it's incumbent on us. I mean, I was thinking about that this morning as journalists. I mean, we're in a pinball machine basically, bouncing from committee to committee and floor session and this bill and that bill to try to step back at some point, and as the session winds down, hopefully there'll be more opportunities to help the public understand, okay, we've written 25 stories about property tax bills. Okay, let's take a breath. What got through and what didn't, and what, on that and on data centers. And there'll be opportunity for that as session winds down. Right now, it's just so, chaotic of bills up and bills down that kind of we're reduced to that of just sort of maybe horse race coverage, like they say about politics, but it's about bills because that's just the time we're in with session now. And I think that's probably somewhat hard for the public to follow, but hopefully it'll get easier as session winds down a little bit and we start being able to do some summation type stories,
Yeah. Murdoch, what were you going to add there?
He's right. It's hard for the citizens to keep track of what's going on because of the tonnage of just what's happening, but also, this some of the citizens are making it hard for some of the citizens to keep track. these people that are against data centers, and I don't know if I'm for or against, I think it matters on the situation, as is everything, but I don't, what, like, TIFs, data centers, economic development, find me a plan they like right now. You can't, none of the king's horses and none of the king's men are going to turn down some of the anger, and some of that anger is justified, but some of this is just going to burn through because people are upset right now and they want to be upset right now rather than find a solution. That's not all on the Freedom Caucus.
What are they upset about? What do they want to be upset about?
I think some of this is justified, right? Property taxes, affordability. I think all trust in government is an issue. You know, people have lower trust and expectations in elections. I don't think you can name that on one thing. And I also think a lot of those things are super justified in their own perspective. But specifically to data centers or specifically to these economic development projects, there's a lot of, well, I want to see the good plan. And I don't really believe that there's a good plan they want to be for. I think they want to be against.
Seth, is he making a point there? Do you think people are feeling, you know, disgruntled with government and therefore that's setting a tone for all of this? It just says, you know, yeah, maybe that goes back to the politics of economic development. We don't really trust you. Yeah. We don't really trust each other. We're a little indignant about the world right now, and we're not feeling like coming together and solving big problems.
Yeah, I have a theory on this. I mean, I think with economic development, there is a bit of a disconnect on the side of the powers that be. When I was in Pierre a couple weeks ago now, South Dakota News Media Association, which we're a member of, had Lieutenant Governor Tony Van Huysen come and talk to us for an event that we had. And he made a comment to the effect of, you know, all these anti-economic development bills, I just don't know where this is coming from. Something like that. And I asked him a question. I said, well, could it be coming from the fact that a giant, you know, multi-billion dollar pipeline was a company tried to use eminent domain and pissed off, you know, hundreds of people all over the eastern half of the state? Could it be coming from the fact that, former Governor Noem used a economic development fund to run ads that she starred in that elevated her national profile? You know, could it be coming from the fact that all these people that she invited into the state for our freedom drove up housing prices and raised everybody's property taxes and on and on? I mean, could it be coming from some of those things, you know, maybe? And well, yes, yeah, I mean, I recognize some of those are legitimate. So I mean, it just, and again, I'm not here saying that all economic development is bad or whatever, but there just seems to be an unwillingness on that side of the powers that be to sort of acknowledge any legitimacy sometimes to any of the complaints that people have and the TIF issue about what happened in Rapid City. You know, there still seems to be some people who are just apoplectic about the fact that a TIF got voted down. Well, 70% of people voted it down, so there was something that people didn't like, you know. Yeah. So
a lot of things.
Yeah, lay out a few of them, Brad.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's the best use of the time looking back into a TIF vote that failed, sure, of what the future is, but a lot of the things, you know. I think the largest TIF in South Dakota is a hard example of it. But some of these smaller TIFs in rural communities, and I'll use my hometown of Elsister, and I have no idea if they're working on a TIF or not working on a TIF, but it's a tiny little town of 700. And if they ever wanted to put in housing development in order to grow that town, which almost no small town in South Dakota can do, it wouldn't be possible without some sort of mechanism that would give some assistance whatsoever. The fact that everyone is so mad about a Costco vote is what's apoplectic to me. Turn down a TIF, that's fine. But right now we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We can't not grow. Whether you like it or not like it, the last governor ran ads around the country telling people to move and work here. So to then not build an infrastructure for them to be able to do so, right, wrong, or whatever you think about it, is bad business.
We heard.
See, Larry, this is where I think people are talking past each other in a session now, because I hear people on the economic development side saying they want to, those people over there, they want to tear everything down. They want to, and then I hear people on that side, Taffy Howard and some other people on that side saying we want to reform. I don't think anybody, you know, if a small town in the middle of South Dakota wants to do a TIF, there's nobody telling them they can't do a TIF right now. What I hear on the side of the reformist side is that They want to stop some of what they consider to be some of the abuses of some of these large TIFs. And I don't think that there's any chance that we're going to outlaw TIFs in this legislative session. There's a chance that they might put some more restraints on.
But so. we're taking into account some things. This is kind of fun. I love talking about this stuff. Let's go back to the Liberty Land example. There was a guy on Reddit with no economic development history, background, experience at all. He AIs through Grok an audit, quote unquote, about this TIF development. And that thing gets shared 300 times. And so the people that have to defend economic development, which I am often one of them, I don't know where we can separate we from chaff from having to defend absolute nonsense, because we can say, well, that's a made up thing on Reddit. And now we sound dismissive. So we do need to defend things and we do need to reform things. But we're in a spot right now, going back to data centers. I don't think the people who don't like data centers could show you one data center they like. We got to find a middle ground. I've always been a middle ground guy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's part of the talking past that I mentioned, is at some point, both sides are talking past. But one thing that's interesting in the legislature is it is forcing those sides to come together. If you listen to the data center debates that have been happening in the legislature, it's just basically a clinic, and everything we're talking about here is, you know, people on one side alleging corporate welfare, that these incentives are terrible and we're incentivizing the biggest, richest tech companies in the world. And people on the other side saying, well, if we don't incentivize data centers to come to Eureka, for example, which is where Senator Jim Milhoff grew up, that nothing's ever going to come there and Eureka is going to shrivel up and blow away. And so at least they're, you know, I say people are talking past each other. In some cases, they're having to talk to each other because there's a bill that they have to debate in the chamber, and they're doing that. So in some sense, there is some success being had there.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Sioux Falls, you have one of the biggest economic development stories in history, which is the relocation of the Smithfield plant. And what kind of city do you build as that transition happens? And it's kind of mind-blowing. I had a thought here, and it was this idea of arguing over what economic development means. Is this pinned to an election year, Seth? Or is this going to outlast? I mean, some of it you definitely see, you know, Dusty Johnson running his ads and you know, Governor Roden going on his open for opportunity tour. We know some of this is, and John Hansen talking about corporate welfare. We know some of this is tied to a primary. How much is just a real big question that South Dakotans are trying to answer right now?
I don't think the election is a cause of it. I think the election came along and is happening while this debate was already underway. And because obviously, as I mentioned before, you had the big Summit pipe carbon dioxide pipeline issue that was kind of the first real entrant into this debate over economic development. And you've had people mad about the future fund, and you've had people mad about tax increment financing districts, and you've had, you know, lots of that stuff. And then along comes this election, you know, and naturally some folks like John Hansen, who's running for governor, and some others have said, oh, this is an issue that I can tap into because there's a lot of people really fired up about this stuff. So I think it outlasts the election, and it's really issue driven, really. The data center thing is going to, well, what the legislature does this session will have a lot to say about, you know, where the data center debate goes, for example. But it's really issue driven, and the election just happened to come along while we were debating all of these issues.
Yeah. I'd agree with that, specifically for data center, whichever way you're supposed to see it. You know, that this conversation's happening on every political junkie in every state in America, right? There's hot takes on this everywhere.
Meanwhile, some of the social issues are going. I read on South Dakota Searchlight that they're cleaning up the bathroom bill to make exemptions for firefighters. Did I read this right? They're cleaning it up, in quotation marks, to make exemptions for firefighters, law enforcement officers, and theatrical performers.
Yes. And just to get everybody up to date, and hopefully I don't mess this up, but obviously, you know, last year they adopted a law that said you can only use the bathroom that matches your sex at birth. And, you know, obviously it was mixed up in all the politics around, transgender people and those issues. But they came to find out that they have a problem in some places where if you're a firefighter, if you have male and female firefighters together in a changing room, quote unquote, which is one of the terms used in that legislation last year, Well, then I guess they're violating the law, maybe, because they're not in the changing room that belongs to their specific sex at birth. So they had to, come along, I guess, and do some carve outs so that people weren't violating the law by just doing their everyday jobs, like
And
firefighters and
Murdoch,
stuff.
that
So.
gets to the ridiculousness of the whole thing. But when we were talking about that bill, it was like, you know what, kids at the State One Act, are all going to change, and nobody's like, what are you doing here? And now we see the ongoing absurdity of legislation like that.
I think the absurdity is a little hidden this year. I think it's just as prominent as it was every year, but property taxes and data centers are taking up the noise, but the bathroom bills and the child marriage nonsense is still in peer in the same committees it always is.
I was just going to say, I think there's been less so focus on social issues this year, and less appetite for it. One of the primary things that made me think about that was that there's been several bills introduced to try to fight the COVID fights over again. There was a bill that somebody brought that was, if you give blood, you have to give notice if you've had the COVID vaccine, and there was, stuff like that. And all those bills have died so far. And so it just seems like some of the appetite for some of that stuff is waning a little bit. I think we're always going to have the anti-abortion bills, in this state, and there's a couple of those, but it seems to me, I mean, one thing about the data center, property taxes, all that, I think, we oftentimes say, hey, quit focusing on social issues and talk about, some of the other stuff. And I think to a large extent, they've done that this year in the session.
Lori, do you think, can I ask you a question? Do you think Sioux Falls will buckle against the $90 million TIF for the Smithfield plant?
I don't know. I'm not the right person to ask that question. I would have to do some checking.
I sure
I'd
appreciate
have
that
to,
answer. Almost no one gives that answer. I see a lot of people yipping about a packing plant that have never stepped foot in one ever, ever, ever. They just think the meat shows up at the grocery store.
No, I would have to,
My answer to that, Murdoch, would probably be it depends on how the TIF is structured. I mean, if the TIF is structured in such a way that it's to build streets and sewer and gutter and water treatment and all that stuff, I don't envision people will have a problem with it. If it's structured so that, a giant company in China, WH Group, I think it's called, that owns Smithfield, can do whatever they want with $20 million in that TIF, I think people are going to have a problem with it in the way they had a problem with the TIF in Rapid City that was voted down.
One of the big question marks, I think, is the money that's being invested into moving it, tearing it down, cleaning it up. Is that enough? There are going to be all kinds of things that we don't know what is happening environmentally in that space. And I think there's going to be a lot of question marks, and transparency is important so that we really understand what's going on. Any leaders that you see sort of rising to the top or struggling this legislative session? Whether they're actually leaders of their caucus or other voices in peer that you've said, hey, that person really is making
Well,
a name for themselves this year.
you mentioned struggled or coming to the top. Two names I mentioned before, Will Mortensen and Casey Crabtree, who were formerly majority leaders of their respective chambers and have really been sidelined by sort of the new sort of anti, summit pipeline leadership. It's been interesting to watch them. Casey Crabtree has been behind a lot of the supportive or sponsoring a lot of the pro data center bills this session, and has really struggled to get other enough senators on board with that. Will Mortensen just announced that he's not going to run for re-election. I don't know if that's because maybe he's anticipating he'll be in the Dusty Johnson administration. Maybe there's some speculation about that. But th those are two guys who, 3 years ago or so, appeared to be guys that were, running things and on the up and up, and have really been marginalized by this new sort of power structure in the legislature.
Murdoch, what do you think?
It's interesting because I think he's everything set. All he says is kind of generally right, but I kind of see the work that those guys are doing. Right now, I see those are the camps that are killing all of these, what I would call kind of extra and unnecessary bills, right? And so I see the work being different. It's a different type of leadership, and it's certainly not in front of the cameras as much. And then I also see people like, I want to stay West River, I guess, because it's what I know, but Senator Duham, a lot of District 32, and Senator Uri Bauck out of District 32, probably from different sides of the aisle and disagree a little, but I see those guys working hand in hand, less trying to be right and less trying to caucus and more trying to come up with some solutions. I think that's pretty savvy of both of them.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we should leave it there. Anything else you want to get in before we let you go?
I missed you guys. Good to be back.
I love it. All right. Seth Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. You can find his work online at southdakotasearchlight.com. Brad Murdoch is co-host of the Dakota Town Hall podcast. Find that on dakotatownhall.com or on your preferred podcast platform. And don't forget to like, share, and rate the Dakota Political Junkies podcast. That's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at STPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.